This morning we celebrate Laetare Sunday. The Laetare meaning rejoice. There are two times throughout the year, once in Advent and once in Lent, where we celebrate a Sunday of rejoicing in the midst of a normally kind of a penitential season. And so the church permits priests to wear the rose-colored vestments. And I was looking around, especially in the choir. We got a lot of rose-colored people who they get extra points this morning. So for coordinating, I love it. But with this, it's the church wants us to have, intentionally wants us to have, a lighter kind of Sunday. So there are several different concessions the church makes on Laetare Sunday during Lent. So throughout the season of Lent, you're not supposed to have instrumental music except what is necessary to accompany singing. So you're not supposed to have, like, you know, all the flutes and violins and all those other kind of things just playing instrumental music, only what can accompany singing. But on Laetare Sunday, you can. The vestments can be instead of the violet, the dark, deep violet, the penitential, it's a little bit lighter color, where it's not quite white. We're still in a penitential season, but we're not quite in the depths. You're allowed to put flowers on the altar. Now, we didn't choose to do that, but you're not supposed to have flowers on the altar for the rest of the season of Lent, but today you can. So just things that the church is trying to do to make this a little bit lighter of a day to rejoice and celebrate. Now, that being said, because it's a day to rejoice, in light of that, and the fact that St. Patrick's Day is coming up here in a couple of days, I'm going to start off with a joke this morning, and you'll like this, okay? All right, here we go. Once there was an Irishman who goes into a bar, okay? You knew it was going to be a bar, but he goes into a bar, and he orders four beers, and he tells the bartender, I have three brothers. Me and my three brothers, we decided that wherever we are in the world, every Friday night we get together and we drink a beer, one for each of us brothers. And that way, wherever we are, we're united together. And the bartender, you know, said, oh, wow, that's a great sentiment. You know, good for you. And this went on for weeks at a time and months and eventually years. And then all of a sudden, one day, the man comes in, and he only orders three beers. And the bartender says, ah, Paddy, me friend, tonight the beers are on me. I'm so sorry for the loss of your brother. And Paddy says, me brothers are fine. I just gave up drinking for Lent. Happy St. Patrick's Day a little early. okay. Now, to the gospel. The church is very, very intentional about the readings that are selected as we work our way through Lent. The idea is it's a on-ramp where we're heading for Easter. We're heading for Holy Week and to Easter. And in order to really enter into the joy, receive the joy and the celebration of the resurrection, we have to first enter into the depths of the passion. That's just the way it is. And so there's this transformation process that is happening where we're led one step at a time, and we have these various readings of Jesus being tempted, of the Samaritan woman at the well, of all these things that are kind of laid out for us. And today we have the man born blind. And hopefully at this point you're aware, and if you're not aware, let me tell you, when you read Scripture, you are supposed to read Scripture and listen for other places in Scripture that remind you of that. Other things that, okay, well, this thing has a connection back to here. They're supposed to tie it together. And that's the way all the ancient Christians, all the church fathers, when they read the Old Testament, they would always find points of connection. So, you know, when anywhere that where they came across the idea of a tree or wood or something like that, they would always see it as a connection, read it and through the lens of how does that connect to the wood of the cross. Abraham, having his son Isaac carry a bundle of wood on his back up the hill where he was going to be sacrificed, they would read that as being connected to Jesus carrying the cross up his back to a hill where he would be sacrificed. The connection between those two points, right? So whenever we read the scripture, whenever we read the gospel, we're supposed to be listening through the filter of where else does this connect? Because there's one will help us to understand the other and vice versa. So apply that to today's gospel. What do we hear that connects to other places in scripture? So here's, let me save you some of the suspense. There's a lot of them in today's gospel, quite a few actually. But I'm really only going to focus on one. And I'm not even just talking about like the fact that Jesus is healing a blind man. So anywhere where Jesus heals a blind man, you should be connecting those all together as well. So there are multiple layers that we can filter this through. But I want to focus on this point. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. All right. Where else in scripture do you recognize dirt being folded and molded and shaped and applied somewhere? There's a couple different options, but if you said Genesis, you would be correct. That is the big one. And St. Augustine really talks about this quite a bit. Genesis, God takes a handful of dirt out of the ground, he molds it and shapes it and breathes life into it, and it's Adam. It's an act of creation out of dust. So this is what Jesus is doing. He's grabbing clay, he spits in it, mixes it up, and puts it as a paste on the guy's eyes. This is an act of creation, brothers and sisters. That's what's going on here. He is creating. So in Genesis, God took dirt and made a new man. Here in the gospel, Jesus takes the clay and he takes a man who is blind and he puts the clay on him. He goes in the waters, go bathe in the waters of Siloam. He bathes in the waters and he comes out a new man. It's baptism. That's what it is. It's a new creation where we were blind before. We've encountered now Christ. And we go through the waters of baptism and come out a new man. And not just a new man, but the waters of Siloam. Why Siloam? What's it? John gives us an insight into that. Go wash in the pool of Siloam, and then kind of the little bracketed note, which means sent. Sent. Go. Go on. Shoot. You're sent. He's blind, he's made to see, washed, and sent out. That's the progression here. And you and I are supposed to read ourselves into this blind man. That is you and me. That's us. We were blind, we've been reborn, washed, and now we are sent. And just, it really is a fascinating, I wish I had more time to be able to extract all the stuff from this gospel in terms of the dialogue between this man and the Pharisees and the Pharisees and this man's parents. You know, there's so much that's going on here. But the point is this. The man is washed, he's reclaimed, he can see, and now, within a few moments, he is offering testimony to Jesus, the most unlikely person. So they call him in, and they're examining him. So where did this man come from? What's going on? He's like, I don't know. I don't know where he came from. But I'll tell you what I do know. I was blind, I encountered him, and now I see. That was it. And they keep kind of grilling him. And so he responds by offering a long treatise on the finer points of the inner working of the Holy Trinity. No, he doesn't. He doesn't know any of that. He doesn't know about the Trinity. He doesn't know about like the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, co-equal, consubstantial. He'd never heard of any of that. All he knows is, this is where I was, I've encountered Christ, and now my life is different. And that is enough. This is evangelization, brothers and sisters. It's the witness. My favorite definition of evangelization, I know I've said it before, is one beggar telling another one where to find bread. That is evangelization. And so my question for you and your own examination, your own reflection here is, have you encountered the Lord? Have you been healed by the Lord? Can you point to a moment, an example, a time in your life, a specific event where you were healed and you encountered God in a new way? And if so, that should be part of your own testimony, of the story that you tell of, this is how I've been healed. And here's the thing, a lot of people, they're scared to talk about their faith, they're scared to talk about their experience, because I can't explain why we believe this or don't believe that. I can't talk about like whatever those things are. I don't have a master's in theology, and you don't need one. But we do have a responsibility to share. St. Paul says, be prepared to give a reason for your hope. To give a reason, I've encountered God and my life is different now. That is enough. One last thing I would say, as far as that moment of encounter, the moment of healing, the moment of coming to know the Lord in a new way, St. Ignatius of Loyola says those moments are given to us intentionally for a specific reason, and that is, it's like a water canteen. When we go back into the desert, we go back into desolation, we go back into times of dryness, we are supposed to bring those memories with us. And when we enter into prayer and we don't get anything out of it, prayer is hard, we feel far from God, it's like talking to a big black hole and we're getting nothing back. St. Ignatius said, take those memories when you encountered God and were close to him, take those memories with you and begin your prayer by remembering and calling to mind the times of closeness. That boosts your prayer and gives you like a diving board to jump into prayer, not just for your own sake, but even as you continue to attempt to witness, to evangelize, to just share your story. It's a point of encounter with the Lord that we can continue to take with us. And so as we make our final preparations, we only got a couple of weeks before Easter, we make these final preparations to enter into the Passion, may we call to mind the way that we have been healed, the way we've encountered him. And I would just encourage you, invite you, challenge you to be willing to witness to that, be able to share those stories with your kids, with your spouse, with your neighbors, with your coworkers, not in a way it's like shoving a Bible down their throat, but in a way of freedom. That is what is attractive. That's what draws people. And we see how